What's up, beautiful Bellcast babies? Welcome to another episode. I am Gio.
And I'm Bart.
You look good.
What do you mean? I did my weight loss?
Yeah, you've been looking really, really lean these days.
Thank you. I've actually dropped almost 30 pounds this year.
Holy crap, since January.
Yeah, last year.
God damn.
What's so ironic is last year, roughly around this time, well, I guess like not that close, but last year in March is when I ran the marathon.
Yeah.
And through all that
right, because they were like shutting marathons down, like events down one by one because of COVID.
Yeah, ours, ooh. I got so lucky because the week literally before the marathon, they were like, just to let you know, this thing could get shut down at any time in the email.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, because I've actually been training 12 weeks for it. And every single week, I think I was running close to about 30 miles a week.
Yeah, for sure.
So, absolutely. My weight got down. I was getting lean. And the time that I ran the marathon, I think I was like low 180s. And then boom, COVID hits, right? So we're not allowed to go anywhere. And now it's time to just chill out.
Yeah,
and
I'm time like, to party.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm going to get my leg strength back. So I wasn't doing any cardio. And I'm from 180 to 210 during the pandemic. So, you know, people that have like the pandemic 15 or God whatever. Damn. I had the pandemic 30. And then so I started this year at 210.
Man, you gain weight so fast.
It's because I know how to eat. It's because I eat like a mother. You know, like, I don't know how it is. Like, you know, when I go to a restaurant, like I could eat like two plates. Every restaurant I go to, I'm like,
and are is you it trying hunger?
To, is this for babies or what is this for?
Is it hunger? Like, that's just the size of your appetite or what the hell?
It's a little bit of both. I think like I have a big appetite because you've
what's
seen
the
me
other
eat
one?
A, you've seen me eat a whole large pizza before, right?
Yeah.
The other, it's like mouth sex.
What do you mean? Like literal mouth sex?
Yeah, like literally like when I'm eating, it just, the sensations are so delicious and it hits me in the soul. It's like,
damn, I don't know what that feels like.
It's like watching a 2-hour movie versus a 30-minute TV show.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Kind of like this. Like the way that I
get your analogies, I just can't understand that for food since I have none of that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like it's almost like, like if someone told you to memorize everything on this show, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's 30 minutes long, there's going to be less to memorize, right? And then at 30 minutes, you're probably like, I'm already full. I'm brain full, right? But if the show's good, you're like, I want to know what's happening. I want to know what's happening. And so you end up binging the whole season because it's so good. So that's kind of how it is with food, where there's times I'm full,
yeah.
But it's so good that I'm like, give me.
What the fuck? What's the fullest you've ever been and what does that feel like?
The fullest I've ever been, and I've never felt this before, after or before, was when we did the JK party challenge, the
Costco.
The Costco one.
Yeah. So the Costco was how much you can buy.
Like $10 worth of Costco food. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a hot dog, the chicken bake, a slice of pizza, a churro, a large drink, Polish hot dog. Was there anything else? I forgot.
God damn, that's a fuck ton of shit.
Yeah, but I've never ate to the point where as I'm putting food down, I'm involuntarily gagging. Like it's coming right back.
Oh my God.
Like I've never been like I didn't even have to have the gag reflex. It wasn't even like, it was just put food in
and it's
just coming out. Without even gag reflex, the food is just coming out.
That's fucking insane.
That's how crazy it was. And I was like, holy shit. And I ended up throwing up, of course, because it was just way too much food.
Yeah, no, I don't understand that food thing where it's like sex is in your mouth.
When you're eating food, you don't like the bombest food. What's your favorite fucking food in the whole world?
I mean, the way you're asking, like the passion behind this question.
Yeah.
I don't feel for food.
So what is your favorite food then out of all of the non-passionate whatever, what's your favorite food?
I'm so indecisive. I don't think I have a favorite food. I think I have like a food per mood. Or really? Like I just want to try different things. Yeah, like I don't really have like a, like I have to have that.
Or cuisine, like do you like Mexican, Italian?
I guess Mexican.
Mexican's your favorite food.
Yeah.
And then, so you always say that your mom makes the best, right?
Yeah.
So Has your never mom, that good. Has your mom ever made something where you're like, oh my God, I got to slap her in the face?
Never. I've never felt that feeling where I'm like, oh my God, where is the person that made this?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I've been like, whoa, this is really bomb. But like the way you speak about it, where you're like, holy crap, I'm about to commit murder. You know, like yeah. that intensity, I've never felt.
What about, so you didn't relate to it when you're watching Ratatouille. And that really mean critic, he eats the ratatouille and then it goes all the way back to when he was a kid and he sees his mom making him the ratatouille and then he sheds a tear. He goes, oh, brought me back to over there.
Yeah, not that passionately, no.
Wow.
I know. I hear you guys talk about food and I'm like, damn, I'm really missing out. Like there's things that I'm like, yo, this is so good. But the way how you literally could stand up, spin, and then clap like 3 times to sit down. I'm like, damn, like you were moved.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been moved by food before.
Damn, out of all the art forms, I wonder if food moves me the most.
Because music does that to me. Movies can do that to me. Dance, for sure dance.
Damn.
Yeah, not food.
I think food might even move me more than music. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have as many.
Really? Because you
doesn't
really
have as many emotions, you know? Because, you know, dance, you can get hyped up. You can be calm. You can go to sleep. You get romantic. You can be adventurous.
This one just sounds like sex the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just super positive.
There's so many emotions, right? But like,
what happens when you have bad food? Are you like really? Is it that intense too? Because you
if
can
it's
taste
bad,
it?
Bad. So there's, to me, there's bad food. There's like not good. And then there's bad.
Okay.
Bad yeah. pisses you off.
It pisses you off?
Yeah, but not good is like, I'll just keep eating it. You know, not good is like listening to like elevator music. It doesn't destroy your day, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
it's just there. Just, you can listen to it all day. You can listen for like 4 hours. So if it's not good, I'll just finish eating it. It's fine.
Dude,
it's
my appetite will just go away. Like if the food is... So if the food's bad, I'm throwing up.
Yeah.
If the food is, it's like not bad, not good. Then after a while, I just get bored with it. And I'm like, I'm done eating. Like, I'd rather not eat.
Dang. Yeah, if I eat something good, it's like, shit. You know?
No, I don't.
And then if it's not good, then it's like, am I hungry? And sometimes like I'm so, I'm still enjoying the sensation or whatever. Or I'm talking to a friend, I'll still eat the whole bag or eat
what
the whole thing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, just finish this. Might as well. I'm already here.
No, for me, the food, if it's bomb, then I just go, like in my head, will go, and that's kind of it.
Damn, that's it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then like if it's really rich, then just after like a handful of bites, I'm like, oh, I can't do it anymore.
What about candy though? Because you love candy. How much do you love candy?
Not to the point where I'm like.
What does candy make you feel then? Like, why are you so addicted to it?
I think I might just be addicted to it. I don't know. Candy's just yummy. Like
it's just yummy.
Yeah, I don't know what it, I don't know how to describe it. Because there's no like spice or like
every time you go to your mom's house,
I think it's
you're
texture,
like,
flavor. I don't know.
You're like ransacking her everything. You're looking for it. Where did you move it to this time? So what is it then? What are you looking for?
Damn, that's a good ass question. I don't know. I don't know. There's just these flavors.
Okay.
That like really don't exist in real life, but that they're just bomb.
So if someone took it away from me, would you be sad?
Yes. But what do you mean? Like it's gone. I can't have it anymore.
Yeah. Like let's say, you know, some people go, oh man, I don't want to go to jail. If I go to jail, I'm not going to have, I'm not going to be able to play my trumpet anymore.
I don't think
I'll be
sad.
Some people might be like, oh, I can't eat the food I like.
No, I won't be sad. I'm just going to be like, damn, like I want that flavor, but like, I'm not going to be emotionally moved by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think within a week or two, I'm like, all right, I guess I don't need it.
And you wouldn't miss it?
I think I would miss it. That's like, okay, so when I got pregnant with Taika, that was one of the things I wanted to like really take care of because like I just didn't want to become diabetic or just have like crazy sugar spikes for him. So I just laid off of candy altogether.
Yeah.
And you know how much I love candy.
Yeah.
But I was able, like a flip of a switch, I was able to just stop. Like, that's how detached from candy I am. And I love it. You know what I mean?
What can you not live without then?
You.
I know. I know. But I'm talking about other things.
I know.
Like music, movies.
I cannot live without music. For sure, music. If music were to disappear, I don't think it would ever disappear, actually, because then I'd be playing my own shit in my head. Like, there's times where, like, I enjoy music so much that I can be doing, like, a mundane task. And, like, I'm clicking and chewing, just making noises, like, with my mouth.
Oh, that's what I always do.
Yeah, but that's how big musical. Of a presence.
I see.
Yeah, music has in my life versus food for you.
Damn.
Because I would get up and be like, God, like, you've seen me. You've seen how,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I, like, true. Perform, that's like, true. What I'm feeling.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe that's your biggest sensation.
Food?
Yeah.
But I also feel like all Asians love food like this.
What?
Yeah. Like, you know, like
Chinese specifically?
No, I think all of them. Because I feel like the whole foodie scene, you know, the, what's the word? Like the quintessential Yelp reviewer, right? You think of an Asian girl that's riding at a boba shop with a boba in her hand. And she's just traveling the world, trying all the different pastas or whatever. And she's just reviewing. Like, you think of an Asian girl, right? Something about the Asian culture, I don't know if it's the upbringing, but it makes you really value food.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the upbringing. But
do you think it might just be like an American only thing? Because I'm trying to think of other ethnicities.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like most non-Americans are very, are more on the foodie side.
Could be. And I'm also generally speaking, obviously, like I'm sure there's a ton of Asians with really shitty taste buds. And I'm also sure there's a ton of Americans that are really into food, right? Like, we also have like our super adventurous friend, like your brother, right? Like my dad will cook something that even I'm like, oh shit, what the fuck is that? Shrimp heads? And your brother's like, you know? And then after our potluck, he's like, is your dad gonna take that? Cause I'll take the rest home. I'm like, oh shit.
I don't know where he got that from, because so like, I'm not like that.
Yeah, so there's like, obviously there's like the outliers, but generally speaking, I feel like most Asians, like especially when I talk to Asians about food, it's very common to have like in search of the dank. You know what I mean?
You fucking have genius one-liners, sir.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're always in search of,
I know
in
exactly search for the what dank. You mean.
And then like, it's like, ooh, that was good. Like, whether dank in pizza, pasta, you know, like fucking miso soup, whatever. You know, you're like in search of like, oh, look at this fucking Ethiopian food. Just punches you in the stomach. And you're just like, oh, that shit was good.
I love it, dude. Okay. Everyone listening right now, do not take this, but you need to make a food channel called
In Search of the Dank.
Yes. That is fucking really rad. Well, okay. So I guess we can just say then, yeah, because in my experience with a lot of Asians, because I grew up with mainly Asians and obviously Mexicans, mainly Mexicans too.
Yeah.
I can attest to that because they've, like, I've mainly had Asian friends actually. They've always been like bigger on the food scene. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then you go to diners, right? Like whether high class to like family level, from like Denny's to Sizzlers to all the way up to even like, I don't know, is Cheesecake Factory a diner? Not really, right?
No.
But like the whole spectrum of diners, your usual thing is some sort of like, you could get a steak or you can get
some
sort
a staple. Of
chicken breast, yeah.
Like an American staple.
Yeah, but nothing is dank in there. You know, the dankest thing that they might have, maybe
put it is cheddar, for the American
cheddar
palate.
Cheese on something. Yeah. Or maybe a chicken pot pie. You know, that might be like the dankest thing. But even then, it's like, I'm sure you take it to, I don't know, some chef, Italian or whatever, and they could probably dankify the fuck out of a chicken pot pie. Like, mm-hmm. like imagine, so chicken pot pie is what? Chicken, like peas, carrots, the gravy thing on the inside, some crust.
Yeah.
you probably get the chicken and like some sort of gnocchi with like some Alfredo sauce, and it'd be 10 times danker already.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think as you were talking, because you were like, maybe it's culturally, is it because it's like highly enforced to finish your food or else they're going to kick your ass?
That could be it. So it makes you like...
So it forces you to try to value literally... It. Well, not value it, maybe. But it forces you to eat everything every single time that like your palate standards, you know, get higher and higher and higher depending on, you know, what you're eating.
Yeah, it could be. Could be like the Mr. Miyagi effect where it forces you to do all these things. Yeah. And you don't know what the point of it is. Like for me, you know, like a lot of, like for you, for example, like if you don't like it, you can't eat it. But I think because I've been Mr. Miyagi-ing so much, I'm like, I don't even really like cucumbers that much, but I'll eat a whole stick of cucumbers. You know, because like I'm separated from my likeness.
You still don't like cucumbers?
Now I like a little bit more in certain things. What the fuck? In certain things, but like I'm able to separate my tastes from what I'm doing.
It's like you just said you don't like, I don't know. So it's like you're telling me you don't like apples. Like that's how much like Mexicans love cucumbers.
Yeah.
Like cucumber is our shit. So for you to say you don't like apples is really weird to me.
I know. It's like cucumbers in everything. Ceviche, it's even like a garnish on the side. But yeah, I don't like cucumbers that much. The taste is so funny.
What, like, can you compare it to something?
It's like a vegetable with a lot of a bright aromas to me. So it's weird.
Really?
Yeah, it's like really bright tasting. So I guess
what's something else that tastes bright?
Cilantro. It's very bright. Yeah, you just eat it and just hit you in the top of the nose. You're like, whoa, what the?
Would wasabi be bright?
No, it's spicy.
Oh,
not a traditional spicy. It's not mouth is spicy, but it hits you in the top of the nose.
Like it's more of on a fire side.
Yeah, burns. Horseradish.
Yeah. Ginger. That's interesting. It's so interesting trying to describe flavors and tastes and shit.
Yeah.
I'm freaking blown away. But on that note, we're gonna take a quick little break. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp is here to help. They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, okay? This is not a crisis hotline. This is not self-help. You're literally going to be paired up with a professional, and it's going to be done securely online from the comfort of your own home or wherever online for you is. You can begin communicating in under 48 hours. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Also, the service is available to you guys worldwide. You can log on to your account at any time, send your message, and then you're going to get a timely and very thoughtful response. Plus, you can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you would with a traditional therapist. So again, you guys, please take care of yourselves. Please, please, please take care of that mental health. Visit betterhelp.com/bail, BAAW, and that's BetterHelp, HELP. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. All right, so you're going to get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/bail. And we are back talking about Crazy Bart not liking cucumbers.
I still eat it. You know, I love cucumbers.
I know. It's just weird. What's something that you absolutely love that I'm just like, nah, I'm not about it. Literally everything, huh?
No. Yeah, I think you like a lot of stuff I like. But you just can't have as much of it because you have diarrhea right away.
Yeah.
Do you like the honey mustard pretzels that I love?
Oh, yeah.
Those are good, right?
Those are really good.
David tried it for the first time the other day when he came over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, David. And he goes, Snyder's. And I put it in a bowl. And then, you know, he just lays back on the couch on his phone. Like, he just thought of some finger snacks. And he goes like this and he puts it in his mouth. And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, holy shit. I'm like, I fucking told you, dude. I don't fuck around. He's like, holy fuck. It's the perfect blend of sweet, savory and crunchy, just a little bit of kick in there. And he's like, what the fuck? And he kept eating it.
Wow.
He's like, how can you do this to me? I'm like, I told you I don't fuck around, dude.
Dude.
Snyder's. Sponsor me, please.
Well, why did he keep saying, though? He was like, I would choose Snyder's over you any day, like that. Like,
I thought I was saying that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was mimicking you. But when did you say that before?
In a podcast.
Right. So that means he listened to our podcast.
No, on his podcast.
Oh, was it his podcast?
God damn.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah, it was at his.
Hey, I was half right.
No, it was on his podcast. Cool.
He's listening to our podcast.
It's on his podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, that changes the whole thing.
And it's just funny to say you like pretzels more than pussy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I just.
Oh, I see.
In my head, I was like, yo, the little bros watch, like listening to our stuff.
He also watches our stuff all the time.
I know. And I thought that was one of those.
Yeah. He says he just plays JK News or this podcast like in the background.
Yeah. Hi, David.
Yeah. What's up, David? All the time.
You bitch. Yeah, that's super cuny. But yeah, that reaction, I don't think... I mean, I guess I've had it like maybe once in a... Like maybe desserts might do that to me a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still not really.
Nah, it's not like a fucking parade in my mouth, you know? Like
I do think it has something to do with the way Asians eat. Or maybe not just Asians... But I think family style, I think has something to do with it. Like, you know, like Italians eat family style. There's like four dishes that everyone shares, right? Can you pass me this? Pass me that. A lot of Middle Easterners eat family style. Asians eat family style. And I think there's that where there's always a ton of food and everyone is sharing. So you have to try a ton of things all the time. And then also you have to finish everything. And then also the conversion of leftovers.
Oh,
that way you're eating something like, you know, what something tastes fresh, a day old, 2 days old, 3 days old. And then also when it gets flipped again into a fried rice or into something else, like you got to flip it into something so you can taste. Like I can eat chicken and I can tell you if it was frozen, if how many days old, how many days it's been marinated.
Are you serious?
And I'm not even a chef, but just from my experience of eating things, I can go, oh, that was frozen, or oh, that's probably been in the fridge 2 days.
What?
Yeah.
I could never tell.
Really?
Yeah.
What about frozen fish? That's the easiest one to tell.
What?
Yeah.
No, frozen, I have no idea.
Frozen seafood tastes way different than fresh seafood and tastes way different than just killed an hour ago seafood.
No, no clue.
And that's why like the Chinese seafood restaurants are so popping. Because they literally bring out the lobster in a bucket and they go, you want this one? And then they go, yeah. And they kill that motherfucker right there. And it's the freshest lobster, crab, whatever you can think of.
Yo, that is so fucking true. Yeah. I was just like, I mean, I get the freshness of it, but I didn't realize the flavor was like that nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Damn, I need to try like, I don't know. I need to close my eyes with every bite. I need to start dissecting. Or maybe it's just something I'm never going to learn.
Maybe.
Like I might never feel it.
You might not.
And I don't think I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because you also don't know what you're missing out. Yeah.
Oh.
You don't know what you're missing if you never missed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn, yeah. Definitely not a foodie. I wonder how Tyke is going to turn out.
I don't know. I know he loves ice cream. That's for sure. He asks for it every day. And when he sees ice cream, he goes like this. So if he goes like this and he's dancing for ice cream, I feel like he has a little bit of that in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you dance for ice cream or candy?
No.
No, not really, right? I feel like when you take a candy, it just goes from like a 0 to like a 3. Yeah. It's not like 0 to like a 10. Wow, it's a holiday today.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Taika, he eats it and he's like, ice cream. Like last night, I gave him some ice cream because he did jujitsu. So I give him ice cream after dinner and he's like, and then I was going to pull out the ice cream from the box.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever looked at food and then just rub my hands together while licking my lips.
And then I was going to pull the ice cream out from the box. And then he goes, no, I pick. Even though all of them are the same. You know, the little cone ones?
Yeah.
And then he goes, that one. And he picked like the third one.
What if he's looking for the one that has like more on the top, like the topping?
They're exactly
or something.
The same.
All right.
So he pulls it out. He eats it and he's like licking it first on the outside. Like he was almost like teasing himself. He was like licking it first.
He's edging.
He's a little bite. And he loved it.
What a cute little dude, man. I'm so fucking proud of him. Because like you said, he did his first freaking BJJ ever. Because he was afraid for like, what, 2 weeks?
Like 3 weeks.
Damn.
3 weeks. Now he did 2 days in a row.
Yeah, and he's stoked.
Yeah.
Like he was just like, I'm so happy. Like I was trying to change him and he was like, I'm not nervous anymore. I'm happy.
Oh,
yeah. That's cute. I was like, good for you, dude. What did you end up doing? Because like we were speaking with Tyka in the room, so it's always usually not that deep. But what did you do to like finally coax him to get on the mat? Because that was one of the things he was so fucking scared about.
Well, like, shout out to Caesar Milan.
What's up, Caesar?
I actually learned a lot about, I think, just creatures in general, humans or animals, from Caesar and from you.
From me?
Yeah, and also Fawn. Oh. And also from Tyson and Meatloaf. So for those of you guys who are like looking to have kids, I highly recommend getting like a pet of some sort because it really teaches you a lot of
things. It might be a dog specifically.
A dog specifically. Because I mean, yeah.
I don't think cats would give you the same
info. Maybe more like a pack-like animal because I think there's a lot of similar traits in terms of personality with just animals. Like there's universal behaviors, right? So you approach someone and it could be a peacock, it could be a snake, it could be a human being, but if they feel threatened, they square up and there's a certain stance across the board, universal, right? Even fish, maybe they blow their gills out or something. Like there's universal behavior that happens. And so with Tyka, I think the problem that he had, for some reason, he was deathly afraid of just jujitsu in general. I don't know if it's all the kids wearing the same gis, so it looks very uniform, very militaristic, or if it's all the kids knew what they were doing, like monkey crawl, and all the kids go across. So maybe he felt like foreign or an outsider to the program, and he felt like he was going to a different planet where, oh, I don't think I could be my free self here. I don't know what it is. Or maybe a new adult, you know, the new coach, like explaining things. I just feel like there's a lot of factors that reminded me of Fawn. Like, you know, when we would take Fawn to the dog park and she would just be like bouncing around on the outskirts. And then when there is one straggler dog that reaches the side of the fence, like she can't wait to go and say hi. So it reminded me of Fawn a lot where like Tyka would be like, he's doing the moves on the side. You know, he's doing the moves on the side.
Cuny, dude.
And then, but I'm like, oh, go, why don't you go do the moves?
And yeah, goes, and you see like a twinkle in his eye, like he wants to really jump in.
And he goes, no. And then as soon as you push him, he starts like crying. No, I don't want to. You're not my friend. I don't love you no more. Like all the crazy ass like words that come out, right? And it kind of reminds me of Fawn where like, you know, we used to try to coax Fawn to do something. And like I opened the back of the SUV. And as I'm trying to pull her out, she's trying to get more sucked in.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Fawn.
She's resisting come like on. A motherfucker.
And yeah, she's like sucking back in. So I'm like, oh man, this is a
Fawn-like behavior.
Very Fawn-like behavior. And so we try to coax him. And then so for me, I think what I have put in place, kind of like, you know, what Caesar does is try to always progress like one step at a time. So the first day, didn't want to do it. That's fine. Second day, you're going to put your gi on. I don't care if it's going to take all class. You're going to cry. You're putting your gi on. So he put on his gi. He was just sitting there on the bench. Next day, we're like, all right, you know what? We're going to sit on the mat. That's it. You don't have to be in the class.
No, I told him not even sitting. Yeah. It was even smaller than that.
Just it like was touching like, it. Huh?
Yeah. I just wanted him to interact.
Yeah.
I'm like, just touch it. So at least like that big monster, if that's what it was.
Yeah.
He, as soon as he touches it, it's not a monster anymore. It's a mat.
Yeah. He would touch it and run right back as if it was like, I don't know, like a burning stove or something.
Yeah.
And then the next day he would sit on the mat and then he would sit in my legs. Like my legs are open and he's sitting right there. So he feels comfy. And
even
then,
that was very strategic.
Yeah. Cause he would face me. I'm like, no, you're facing class. This is a class.
Yeah. And he wanted attention. To hug you or something, right?
Yeah. And then there's times where like he gets comfortable, a little bit comfortable. So he starts wanting to crack jokes because he's a comedian. And then so he wants to mess around with me. Like, no, this is class. We either got to watch or we got to listen. So I turn him around. And then we did that quite a few times. And every time I would try to like progress a little bit more, he would cry and break down and be a distraction. So I didn't want that to happen. And then finally, we got him to be on the mat without crying. And then just this week on the way to jiu-jitsu, I wanted to kind of like, I realized giving him all kinds of direction beforehand, I mean, then and there might be a lot, Because he's going to go resort right back to his old ways, right? Like, he's going to resort right back to, like, oh, shit. I've already conditioned myself to be scared in this environment.
Yeah.
So, I kind of wanted to prep him. So, I'm like, hey, Taika, do you trust Mama? Because I heard, I borrowed this from you. And she was like, yeah. I'm like, do you trust Papa? I'm like, yeah. So, I'm already starting this talk, like, 15 minutes out in the car. And then I was like, does Mama and Papa love you? He goes, yeah.
Cute.
And I'm like, does Mama...
Yeah, we're doing a good job.
I'm like, does Mama and Papa... only want good for you? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, do you want good for yourself? And he was like, yeah. And then I was like, do you think jujitsu is good? And he was like, yeah. Do you know why you need to do jujitsu? And he's like, to protect Mama and Papa. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm cute.
Like, that's why you have to do it. So I'm like, so do you like the way Papa's talking to you right now? He's like, yeah. I'm like, good. Okay, Papa's talking to you nice right now. Okay. And Mama Papa always wants the good for you to happen, and I want you to want the good for yourself. But if you don't do it, then that's when Papa Mama has to get mean, and you don't like it when Papa Mama gets mean. And so if you do good by yourself, we'll keep it like this. So,
what do you mean by mean?
Like stern, yeah. Like, you know, like you kind of like Taika, like that kind of like stern.
Yeah,
and
like snap out of it.
It's more disciplinary, you know? And I know he doesn't like that because he always wants us to talk to him nice and stuff.
He wants soft and cuny all the time.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm prepping him and letting him know, like, this is how it is. I'm always going to be nice. We're always only going to make you do things that are good for you. And then so I was prepping him, and he understood. And then the coach pulled up in the parking lot. This is even before we got inside. Look, that's coach's car. He's like, where? So I know that he has a fondness for the coach. He's just scared, you know? He was actually excited to look for the coach's car because he was like, no, I don't want to see it. So there's a lot of signs that tell me, just kind of like fine, like that tells me she wants to interact. She wants to play.
Yeah.
We get out of the car. One of the kids that goes there all the time goes, hi, Taika. And immediately turns around. I'm like, that's so impolite. I'm like, you have to say hi. What do we say? He's like, no. And then, you know, when you see his like cry just start to form, like, I'm like, no. What do we say? You like Papa talking to you nice, right? And then he was like, and I'm like, you have to say hi. He's like, no. So this part, I had to like pick and choose my battles. I'm like, do I sit here and forcefully make sure every step is good? And he says hi.
Not worth it.
And then it becomes a big catastrophe before we even enter the building.
Yeah.
Or do I just let this pass? So I was like, you know what? I'll let this pass, but I still want to know what's happening. So I said hi to the kid. I said his name. I don't want to say his name in public. But I was like, hey, I'm sorry, but Tech is being rude right now. And he's being impolite. So I'm letting the kid know that he didn't do anything wrong. Because he might be like, I said hi. How come he didn't say hi to me?
Yeah.
So I'm letting the kid know he didn't do anything wrong. I said hi for Taika. But also let Taika know that he did do something wrong. And that's not right.
Dude, that's really good.
So I set that boundary. We go inside. I change him. He stands right there. I'm going to stand on the mat. And at this point, he's comfortable just standing on the mat now. And then now I'm like, now say hi to him. And then he still wouldn't. So I'm like, damn, what do we do? And I'm like, Taika, let's walk around on the mat because there's still only like one or two kids there. And he's like, no. I'm like, come on, let's go. So I just got on the mat and I held his hand. And then I guess he does trust me. So we walked around on the mat and he felt comfy a little bit.
Oh, really good.
Yeah. And I was able to, I tested it. I let go. And he was just like 2 feet behind me and he's walking on his own now. I'm like, oh, awesome.
Sick.
So now this is the big one. I'm like, touch the wall. And on the wall, there's like a big logo of the gym. And when we've been sitting on the mat every single time, whenever he starts getting comfortable and he's doing the exercises, that's the thing that the kids do. They go from one side all the way to the other side. And then when you line up on the other side, that's when you're like officially part of the class. So I want him to feel like he's officially part of the class. I'm like, touch the wall. No. I'm gonna touch the wall. He goes, no. I'm like, all right, hold my hand. He holds my hand. I'm like, we're going to touch it together. So we walk up to it. I touch it. See, I'm like, see, it's not scary. And then he touches it. I'm like, it's not scary, right? He goes, no. And I'm like, Papa's going to hug it now. And I hug the wall.
How cute.
And then this whole time, there's like, I don't know, like seven parents staring at me probably. Like, what the hell is this weird guy doing? But I don't care. And then Taika comes, hugs the wall. And I'm like, oh, is it scary? He goes, no. And then there's a logo, and the logo has a tongue sticking out to go. Can you jump up and touch the tongue? He goes, jumps up and touch the tongue. Two other kids come out of nowhere. They all jump in and touch the tongue.
I love that shit about kids.
Yeah, and then now they're just all playing and running. And then so now...
Is Taika part of the play and the runs?
He's part of the play and the run. So now I slowly remove myself back to the bench now.
Damn, I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, and I just sit there and I just watch. And I don't watch in a way where I'm looking at him. I pretend like I'm staring out into space. So I don't want to be on my phone because I want him to know I'm always there for him. But I also don't want him to feel like everything he's doing is for my approval.
Right.
So that's why I'm not staring at him so that he thinks I'm watching every time. Like, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? I want him to do it for himself. So I'm just sitting there like engaged, but I'm just looking around like that. Even though in my mind, I'm constantly focused on him.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he started class. And even then, you know how when you don't know if something's really going to happen yet? I was like that.
You thought he was going to run off real quick?
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck. Please. Because then the coach comes in, does this talk with the new kids. And he goes, all right, everyone line up. And then...
that could have been his chance to run away.
Yeah, and he runs right to the wall. Yay! And his back's against the wall. And
I'm cute like, oh, boy.
I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it's happening. That's awesome. Yeah. And then
he commits.
Yeah, once. Then he was part of the class.
That's what I like about him.
And I was getting teary eyed because I just felt like, you know, that's the part of like being parenting that's the most rewarding is witnessing breakthroughs.
Yeah.
You know, breakthroughs in their own person. And you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
It's cuny.
Yeah, it is cuny. God damn it. You're going to make me cry right now, dude.
Yeah.
No, that's one thing I love about him right now is that like, God damn it. What? You got me all emotional. is that, once he decides to commit, he'll commit. And like, I don't know if I'm even like that. Like sometimes like he doesn't stick his toe in the water. It's just like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go. That's what I like about him. I think he's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that day, because I'm like, damn it, I wish I could have seen that. But I don't think I would have seen it if I would have gone.
I don't think so.
Like I, you know, because we've been taking him to class every single time and we were both doing these little nudges, like really micro nudges.
Sometimes it's too much. It's too many chiefs sometimes.
Yeah, that like if I'm being a little more stern than you, then he'll go to you for comfort.
Yeah, and so I become a security blanket.
Yeah. So he's like bouncing back and forth from us. So I felt like, damn, like a breakthrough, as you called it, might happen that day. So I was like, I don't know. I just had a feeling. So I'm like, I'm just going to stay behind because I can get more work done or whatever. But ultimately, I did feel like something's going to happen today. So let me just let dad handle it because I kept seeing the progress he would make with you. And I think it was just one time that I didn't go before that. I'm glad I didn't go or else he would have been like looking at me when you're being more stern or vice versa, you know?
Yeah.
So no, I was really fucking excited and I also got teary eyed because I'm like, we did it.
Yeah. I was so teary. I was just sitting there. I was like, oh my God, my little dude is in class. It's so cuny.
Yeah. No, and I think at least for me, my parenting style, what really helped me wasn't really Cesar Millan. I mean, it did definitely give me a lot more insight, but just I think as a kid, I've always really gravitated towards animals.
Hmm.
So I've always wanted to make animals my friend. Regardless, I guess like maybe some insects, like even ants, like I really like, but I mainly stuck to like more mammals and shit, that like I would really try to understand their behavior because we can't communicate with words, right? But like we can communicate with body language. Like you were saying, when a animal feels threatened, they try to get bigger and they try to look more intimidating. But then you also know when they're happy because they're just like, I don't know, they're more jumpy and upbeat and like even if it's a bird, you can tell if they're happy.
There's some
like,
universal things.
Yeah. So I kept noticing this behavior in these animals and I really wanted to gain their trust because I'm just like, I don't know. I just wanted us to be able to communicate. So that really is what helped me understand just mammal behavior. So I knew what it needed to take to like coax something. Through something, I don't know, through whatever you were trying to train them to do. Not that I'm trying to train Taika, but it just helped me understand, you know, that like it takes nudges and stuff and like constant repetition or just consistency, but definitely a lot of trust is what.
Yeah, I never learned that because Asian upbringing style, especially with like a tiger mom, is forced.
Yeah.
You know, like you're literally forced. Like I remember my mom literally grabbing me by the ear, pulling me across the kung fu studio to where I need to be and then let go.
Oh, shit.
And then if I wasn't listening, she takes me to the back and starts like spanking me in the ass. And then she goes, you want to go back on? Yes. Good. grabs me by the ear.
Like, damn, that's like, fucking immediate it's results.
Very like, yeah, very immediate results. So that's all I know. So that's all my urges. Like, why don't you get it ready? Like, shit. I want to just grab him and just take him to the wall and stand him there. You know, yeah. That's all I want to do. But I learned from you and I learned from just animals that the best way is getting their trust.
Yeah.
You know, once you get their trust, because I think Asian way, it's kind of like Mr. Miyagi style, where it's, I'm going to force you to do it and you will gain your own insight. You know, from you hating washing this floor, but after you wash this floor, you'll gain all kinds of new things that you discover through yourself.
Yeah.
Versus I think the more Western way, it's like, hey, I'm going to go wash floors. It's fine. You want to wash floors with me? And then they gain the insight through that way, you know?
And or so, it's like, hey, we're going to wash the floors because this is like what you do and that's a community, whatever. And the lessons are given to you up front.
Maybe. I don't know. Oh. But yeah, so I learned to gain trust. And so I was trying to get Tyka's trust to make sure he feels it, and he did it.
Yeah.
And actually the whole time during class, he actually wanted me to teach him. How I think cute. He trusts me so much.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, all the times you sat on the mat, I would like point things out. I'm like, oh, you see the monkey crawl, you do it like that. Or if you do it like this, and you do it like that. And then so I said, Papa, you can teach me? I'm like, no, coach knows more than Papa. You have to learn from the coach. And every like 5 minutes, Papa, you gonna teach me? I'm like, no, Papa's going to sit here and watch. The coach is going to teach you.
Yeah.
And then after he lined up on the wall, I would like give him these silent thumbs up. And he was just so happy. I was like,
how cute.
Yeah.
How cute.
So I would just give like every time I did something right, you know?
Yeah.
And then slowly I would decrease the amount of thumbs ups to let him know like the approval doesn't need to come from me.
Yeah.
It comes from you doing it right. And then the coach recognizing it. And then you feeling it for himself. So I would do it less, but the reactions would be bigger. So for example, I would do this less so I'm not distracting to class, but then they do get like a water break. And when he get a water break, when he runs towards me, I grab him and I pick him up and I hug him and I kiss him. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
How cute.
Yeah. And then I'm like, all right. And I try to treat it like he's in the middle of a game. You know, all right, can you drink some water? Just a little bit, not too much. Okay. And then you're ready. Are you ready? Yeah. I'm all right. Turn around. Let's go. Go back. And he runs back.
You're so cute. You're a great papa.
Promise?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You're super cool. Damn, this kid's going to be a fucking stellar little dude.
I hope so. If not, I'm going to go back to my mom's ways. I'm like, you better watch out. I'm going to force you to do everything, motherfucker.
I mean, so far he's been doing really good. I just feel like it builds up a lot of confidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I really want him to have that confidence because I feel like confidence will allow anyone to rule the fucking world. And I want him to have that, you know, ability and that confidence of like, no, I got this shit. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I think my three pretty coolest pleasures of being a pops is witnessing his three breakthroughs, which is like swimming, riding a bike, and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And each time it's like, he is scared, but he gets over it. Like even with riding a bike, you know, like he was scared for the longest time. He would ride it and he's doing just fine. And he has like, I call him power legs, where he knows how to like pump them really good and he's going uphill, but he still wants me to hold onto the handlebar. And every time I would let go, even though he goes, Papa!
Yeah.
It turns Korean for some reason. Papa! And I'm like,
ah. Korean dad.
Yeah. And then, but now he'll show me things. Like he sees me standing. So he'll stand, Papa, look at this. Check this out.
Yeah.
And he just does all these other like little tricks that he learns now.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy to see him like, overcome these little scary things.
Yeah, absolutely. Same, me too. Like as you're saying that, I'm also grateful for even having a dog, mainly having a lot of dogs, because like a lot of their because they come in like all sorts of personalities, and knowing how their personality works will also like give you insight and information on how you need to nudge them for certain situations. Like there's some that, so what we're saying now is we know Tyka is more fawn-like, right? Fawn was very scared, very timid. So for her, you needed to force her into the fun stuff. And then once she was there, she's like, oh shit, it's not that bad. You know, whereas other dogs, you can like coax them or give them like rewards or treats, you know? And I guess the way it would translate for a kid is like super extra hype, or they just do it on their own. So like, whatever we're doing with Tyka is because we really understand his personality. Because I think if he was a little bit more sensitive, I don't think I would be as like stern as I get to like, you know, help him have that breakthrough. Cause like with certain kids, you can't push them that hard or else they start crying. And then it's that's when like the traumatizing happens, yeah. You know? But I think like I'll throw out little things here and there for him and I'll see how he reacts to it. So I know I can guide him through whatever the fuck he's going through. And yeah. I know with him, like once the trust is there and I can kind of see he's on the fence, I know that I can push a little bit more and be a little bit more stern and that'll get him there. But if I'm a little too nice, and I'm too soft, then he'll hold on to that more and more and he won't let go.
Yeah, it's like driving stick shift. You got to know when to let go of the clutch give it gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Such a dude.
I think
it's like driving stick shift.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah.
I think, having multiple dogs actually really helped too. Because if you only have one dog, like, you know, I only had Tyson before. So you think all dogs are like that. Mm. But then all dogs are so different.
Absolutely.
And then different. Having three dogs at one time when we had Fawn, Meatloaf, and Briggy.
And we had Patches at some point.
Yeah, like having like multiple dogs at the same Brown. Time. And you just see like when you bring on a snack, one dog cares and the other one doesn't give a shit. You know, you bring another dog, a friend brings a dog over, like Fawn would be immediately interested. Tyson was like, get the hell away from me. I hate this guy.
Yeah, Meatloaf wanted to kill it.
Yeah, like, so so you have to assimilate them in different ways for everything when it comes to food, social interactions, or even going on adventures. Like,
yeah.
Like Meatloaf was like so out of shape. So when we go hiking, he's literally taking the same routes that the human is. Well, we saw
he wasn't out of shape. It's just he was old.
He was older.
We didn't know.
They lied to us. But
we thought he was three, but he was like past 10, we found out after.
Yeah, and then we take Fawn and you just see her galloping like a gazelle through the rockiest terrain. So, you know, what you think is a scaredy cat like Fawn, she actually thrives in certain environments that the other quote unquote badass can't even hit. Like Tyson couldn't do that. Meatloaf couldn't do that. So like we would love taking Fawn into big hikes because you see her just sprint and run and climb up mountains.
Yeah,
and
you're she
like,
became alive.
My yeah, and you're like, this is her natural environment. And then eventually we'll try to figure out a way to like bring that over, right? Like Fawn didn't really like swimming, but if we went hiking next to the beach, she would have that confidence. And then when we take her closer to the water, now she's more inclined to get in it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even with Tyka, it's like that too. Like because you've been able to help him with swimming, then when he was trying to get through a breakthrough with riding a bike, we can revert back to the swimming. And then now when we're doing jiu-jitsu, we can revert back to the swimming and riding the bike. So he just has more and more tools. He's
building up his resume.
Man, he's just understanding how, imagine that's his resume that he writes like,
that's literally swim, right now.
Ride bikes and jiu-jitsu.
Because in the next phase of resume are going to be his report cards.
Yeah.
So this is his resume right now.
That's a pretty cool resume for someone that's not four yet.
Yeah.
He has three things he could write down already.
I mean, there's a fuck ton of things.
Yeah.
Like pooping on his own, like peeing, all that stuff. He's kicking ass, man.
Yeah.
I think we're doing a good job, Dad.
He still need to work on wiping his butt.
Sometimes he just doesn't even want to
yesterday,
wipe it.
Yesterday I told him, after you wipe your butt, you let me know to double check. I go there and he has dookie on his index finger.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he's like.
Did he smell it?
No, because he knows it's yucky. So I come in and I go, as soon as I come in, I'm like, did you wipe your butt? But he's like, no. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, look. And I was like, don't move, okay? Don't move. So I immediately roll his sleeves up like this. His hands are just like this. He's like, no. And I wipe his butt. And then I guess he had diarrhea too. So he had I don't know, maybe he ate something funny. So he was like, oh, it hurts. I'm like, okay, Papa's going to be gentle. So I got the toilet paper and I get a little bit of water so it's cold. And I dabbed it. And he goes, slow. So I dabbed, I cleaned his butt. And then we flushed it. And then, I don't know, he has OCD or something, but I'm like, okay, let's go wash your hands. He goes, only this one. Because this is the one that with poo-poo on it. And I'm like, no, we got to wash both of them. So I washed this one. He kept saying no to this one. And then when I put the other hand in the water, he had a breakdown.
A breakdown?
Like, you know, he just starts crying for no reason.
Why? What was it?
Because he didn't want to wash this one because it didn't have poo-poo on it.
What?
Kids, man, they're crazy.
All right. Well, on that note, yeah, what a fucking cool podcast. If I do say so myself, I had a good time. Thanks, Papa.
Thank you, Mama.
Yeah. And I also want to say thank you to our sponsors. All right. So thank you to BetterHelp. Right now, everyone listening, you guys are going to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Bail, B-E-A-W.
And thank you to our very own brand, Barbell Brigade. I know a lot of gyms are opening back up and people can't wait to get back on their fitness. So make sure you check out BarbellBrigade.com. We got you covered for everything that you need for your fitness endeavor, including a full line of supplements. We have 2 pre-workout flavors, a strength stack, which is our creatine, and also immunity support and performance greens to keep you healthy and optimized so you can get after your goals. Go to BarbellBrigade.com. Last but not least, don't forget to go to JunbiShop.com to get ceremonial grade matcha at an affordable price. And with the code BAEW, B-E-A-W, you get 10% off all matcha tins, daily serving matcha, and everything else that you see on the website. Go to JunbiShop.com.